Today's WBFO brief was recorded at around 8:30 in the morning. This is WBFO News.
Several local officials are expected to be on hand this morning at Weinberg campus in an effort to reverse last week's decision to close the senior care facility. According to the union representing the nearly 300 workers at Weinberg, 1199 SEIU, elected leaders are going to request a transfer of ownership at the financially troubled nonprofit facility. The union says workers have not received retroactive pay, wage increases, and other benefits that were promised in their labor contract. Assemblymember Karen McMahon is requesting the state appoint a receiver to stabilize the operation, where over 100 residents will be displaced by its closure. A member of the U.S. Attorney's Office will oversee the response to any possible threats to voters or election officials as Election Day approaches. According to U.S. Attorney Trini Ross, Assistant U.S. Attorney Paul Bonanno has been appointed as the District Election Officer of the Western District of New York. Complaints can be directed to his office at 716-856-7800. The development coincides with a robust first weekend of early voting in Erie County. Officials say 33,195 votes were cast on Saturday and Sunday. Early voting continues today from noon until 9 at 38 locations. Early voting ends on Sunday. And the price of gasoline is dropping across the region and the country. According to AAA of Western and Central New York, the average price in Buffalo for a gallon of unleaded gasoline fell 4 cents in the last week to $3.29. The national average is $3.13. A case involving alleged election law violations in Chautauqua County will be heard in Erie County. Chautauqua County District Attorney Jason Schmidt says his office will, quote, be conflicting out of the prosecution of Sally Jarosinski. Instead, a special prosecutor will be appointed from the Erie County District Attorney's Office. Currently serving as Ellicott Town Justice, Jarosinski is running for Chautauqua County Family Judge. According to the Post-Journal, Jarosinski has been critical of the timing of the charges, noting they were made within 1 month of Election Day. The State Department of Environmental Conservation will, quote, initiate enhanced surveillance in wild deer following the confirmation of a case of chronic wasting disease in northern New York State. Chronic wasting disease is a transmissible disease that affects the brain and central nervous system of deer, elk, and moose. While there is no strong evidence the disease can infect humans, people should not consume meat from infected animals. The DEC says it will work with hunters, processors, and taxidermists to monitor the possible presence of the disease. And the Seneca Nation is funding the purchase of a new canine unit for the Cattaraugus County Sheriff's Department. Nation officials say they will provide $30,000 for the specially trained police dog to assist with various tasks, notably narcotics detection, tracking, and suspect apprehension. In a release statement, Nation President Ricky Armstrong Sr. said the effort is, quote, to support an aggressive effort in combating illegal drug activity.
This WBFO Brief podcast is made possible by Canisius University, where high-flying griffs find a top-flight education. For the last 8 years, Canisius has been recognized on U.S. News' list of best colleges and universities. Learn more at canisius.edu.
There's another big change for international students hoping to study in Ontario. Premier Doug Ford says in 2026, his government plans to bar international students from medical schools in Ontario. As correspondent Dan Karpinchuk reports, Ford says the international students are taking too many spots from students in Ontario and the rest of Canada.
The announcement from Doug Ford barring international students from Ontario medical schools was greeted with applause.
Our government will prioritize med school seats for Ontario students. Starting in the fall of 2026, all Ontario medical schools will be required to allocate at least 95% of all undergraduate seats to residents of Ontario, with the other 5% reserved for students from the rest of Canada.
Ford said Ontario students need to come first. Ontario will also cover the tuition for more than 1,000 students who commit to becoming a family doctor in the province. Ford says the data shows that about 18% of international students are taking medical seats and then not even staying after they graduate but return to their home countries.
These new actions are designed to ensure Ontario medical schools are training and graduating more doctors, including family doctors, that are going to stay in Ontario. Because we know that if you're born in Ontario, you're more than likely to stay and practice in Ontario.
The province is also expanding its health teams model that will connect more people to clinics with access to doctors, nurse practitioners, and other medical services. The Ontario government says the program will connect more than 1.3 million more people in the province to primary health care. The Ontario College of Family Physicians says 2.5 million people do not have a family doctor. For WBFO News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto on the Canadian Beat.
Back-to-back One Buffalo weekends conclude as the Sabres win their third straight and the Bills thread the needle in Seattle. Plus, the World Series heads to New York and an unprecedented move in high school football playoffs. I'm Jack Cruiser. This is The Scoreboard for Monday, October 28th. For the last six games, Sabres fans who have chanted, "We want four," have gotten their wish. Buffalo's consistent offense was on display Saturday afternoon as the Sabres defeated Detroit 5-3 for the team's third consecutive win. Buffalo's main issue to open the season was finding a way to score with three straight losses, netting just one goal in each game. Since then, though, the Sabres have played connected from the breakout through the neutral zone and onto the attack. Their top forward line of J.J. Paterka, Tage Thompson, and Alex Tuch have combined for 8 goals through 9 games. Across all lines in the NHL, that's top three production. Mind you, Paterka was injured early in the season and didn't return until Game 5. That top line's synergy and production has aided Buffalo to even their overall record with this winning streak. For reference, last season, the Sabres took until late February to put together a stretch of 3 straight victories. Almost immediately, the 0-3 start to the season has been erased. Buffalo looks to win 4 straight games for the first time since January of 2023 when they take on the Florida Panthers at home tonight at KeyBank Center. Puck drop is at 7 p.m. The Buffalo Bills played complimentary football to a T yesterday as they defeated the Seattle Seahawks 31-10. After the win last week over Tennessee, Coach Sean McDermott said to the Bills in the locker room that they came together in the second half, playing, quote, good, sound, fundamental football. That message clearly resonated as Buffalo came out of the gates yesterday playing as one collective unit. The defense forced a 3-and-out on Seattle's first drive, setting up a 14-play barn burner of a possession, resulting in a touchdown for the Bills. That set the tone for the entire game. When Josh Allen threw his first interception of the season inside Buffalo's 10-yard line, the defense had his back, forcing a turnover on downs with a goal line stand. As a thank you of sorts, Allen and the offense marched 93 yards down the field and tossed a touchdown to Dalton Kincaid just before halftime, putting Buffalo on top 14-3 at the break. The Bills scored on each of their next 3 drives, while the defense held the Seahawks to just 1 second-half score. The Bills' offense was equally as complimentary within itself as they dominated possession time throughout the game, controlling the football for over 38 minutes. How did they do it? A balanced attack with a dead split, 34 pass attempts and 34 rushes. That is complimentary football. Buffalo, now 6-2, is back at home next week as they welcome the 2-5 Miami Dolphins to Highmark Stadium Sunday afternoon. The Los Angeles Dodgers celebrated victory after the final out was recorded in both Games 1 and 2 of the World Series over the weekend, putting the pressure on the Yankees as the series heads to New York. In each game, the Yankees were in an envious position in the final inning. In Game 1, they led 3-2 in the bottom of the 10th. That's when Freddie Freeman channeled his inner Kirk Gibson and slammed a walk-off grand slam into the right field seats at Dodger Stadium to win the first game of the World Series. On Saturday night, the Dodgers never trailed in Game 2, but they were in a jam as the game was on the line in the top of the ninth. Facing the Yankees' top of the batting order, L.A. loaded the bases while trying to protect a 3-2 lead. New York sent Jose Trevino to the plate as a pinch hitter, who promptly flew out on the first pitch he saw, ending the game. Tonight, the Bronx will be the site of the World Series for the first time since 2009. The Dodgers and starting pitcher Walker Buehler look to take a chokehold and go up 3-0, while New York starter Clark Schmidt tries to help his team shift momentum and take Game 3. First pitch from Yankee Stadium is at 8 p.m.
An unprecedented move has been made in the Section 6 high school football playoffs. The South Park Sparks ended the season with a 7-1 record, earning them the 4 seed in Class B and a home game in the quarterfinal, except this week, South Park will play on the road. The Sparks share All-High Stadium with the McKinley Macs, who got first dibs on Friday night as divisional champs. So rather than playing on Thursday night or Saturday afternoon at All-High, South Park chose to play on the road for their quarterfinal game versus Williamsville South. The full schedule for the quarterfinals is available on our website at WBFO.org. This has been the Scoreboard for Monday, October 28th. I'm Jack Cruiser for WBFO Sports.
Don't forget to like or subscribe so you can help others find this podcast. And if you love it, leave a review too. The WBFO Brief Podcast and the award-winning journalism of WBFO's news team are made possible by our members. Thank you for listening.